Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the NYBS Radio Show, home of the New York Bigfoot Society.
Gary Hooten Holly here, and welcome to another episode of Bigfoot Radio, live from New York. All right, so we have an awesome show tonight, a little bit different. We're not going to be talking about Bigfoot as per se like we normally do. We're going to be exploring the possibility of populations of mountain lions right here in the great state of New York. We hear so many sighting reports about mountain lions. I mean, I get trail cam pictures sent to me. People come and tell us their stories about how they've witnessed mountain lions in the woods or on their property, going through their driveways, you know, running across the road. Recently, we just had a mountain lion sighting right here in Saratoga County, which is only a quick half hour from where I live in Albany. So they are around. We're getting plenty and plenty of sighting reports, which that is the evidence stating that they may be here. There may be some form of population. So that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. I know it's such a controversial subject in a lot of ways, and I'm okay with that. I love talking controversial subjects. That's what I'm here for. So anyway, that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. So, with that said, let's get into our clerical. We've been super busy. I don't know if you've been watching the Facebook page. We have been really busy the past few weeks. So much going on, doing so many things. We're out in the woods all last week and the week before. We've been nonstop out in the field. This week, we weren't out in the woods, but we had multiple lectures going on this week. And we're doing the radio show. So this week has been about talking, clerical education, staying out of the woods, you know, recharging our batteries a little bit, letting the woods settle down because we have stirred up the woods with our presence out there, and which we're going to talk about that in a little bit. So let's go over what we've been doing. You know, this past Monday, I had a lecture out in Gloversville Library, and it was awesome. We had such a good turnout. I thank anybody who's listening to the show for coming out. It was a good time. You know, we only had an hour to basically cram in so much information, and it was a lot of fun. Every time we go out, we always meet people that have Bigfoot encounters. I've met multiple people at that night that have witnessed Bigfoot activity out there in their areas. It's great to talk to these people and just let them know that they're not crazy. You know, we're all here, you know, to listen, and we're all doing the same thing. And the only thing that we personally want is to, you know, help the witness and clients back up what they're seeing and what they're experiencing, instead of everybody saying that they're, you know, batshit crazy. Like, not everybody's crazy. You know, we are weird in our own ways. You know, we all have our things. But, you know, these witnesses, they have no reason to come and, you know, tell us that they found footprints, that they see a squatch behind a tree staring at them, that they got rocks thrown at them. They have no reason. Like, they're going to get nothing out of it other than ridicule for the most part. So, you know, it was a great time. We got to meet some cool people. And, you know, I always love talking to everybody. As you know, on the show, I talk a lot. So, you know, it's nice just to be able to speak about Bigfoot. And it's great to see such interest. You know, we go throughout the state, and there's just such good interest in this subject, and it's nice. So it makes what we do really enjoyable on the outside. You know, other than being in the woods, we love hanging out with you all, and we always thank you all for your support. You know, we try to get you the best information, the best data that we can get you, and to show you, and you guys can make the decision in your own personal choices on what you think is cool and what you think is garbage. I mean, either way, you know, that's based on you. So thank you for that. So yeah, Monday night was a cool time. Today I was very lucky to go to a summer camp right locally, right here in Albany. I got invited to go out to a monster class and talk with basically a bunch of youth about monsters and Bigfoot. And then we talked about ghosts too. For you that don't, for a lot of you that don't know, I also run a paranormal group. That's our parent group to the Bigfoot Society, which is our sister group. So we were able to talk all things paranormal and all things Bigfoot. They are so interested in Bigfoot. That's why we were there. If you go to the Facebook page, you can see me hanging out with the kids. And let me tell you, I love talking to children about these subjects. They want to know so much. They ask me so many questions, so many. And they're from all different sides, you know, and it's amazing. I love listening to like the way their brains work. You know, it's almost like as children really want to know the answers. Like they automatically expect you to have an answer right off the bat, and be logical about it. And they put you on the spot, man. They were putting me on the spot left and right, and I'm like, man, it's like a firing squad right now. They had all their questions written out for me, and yeah, we were just going in about, you know, what Bigfoot could be and this, that, and the other thing. They actually 2 days ago watched the America's Book of Secrets episode that I was featured in on History Channel, and they were all sold on it till they got to the very end of the TV show. And you know how documentaries are, they just kind of twist it whatever they want. They start talking about aliens and things like that, and then the first question they asked me when I got there was, yo Gary, they're like, do you believe if Bigfoot's an alien? And I was like, no, I do not believe Bigfoot's an alien whatsoever. That's not my belief. And they're like, okay, well, thank God for that, because if you thought that he was an alien, we're not going to listen to basically anything you say. And I'm like, oh man, you guys are tough. Like, and these kids they're very smart. These kids were very academically smart. It's an academic summer camp. So they're all very knowledgeable in everything, and they love to ask questions. But it was a lot of fun today. And like I say, we got to talk about the ghost stuff. And by the time I left there, one of the kids came up to me and they're like, you know what, I really didn't believe in Bigfoot or basically a possibility, but now I am 88.3% sure that Bigfoot does exist. And other than not being able to see one yet, I will put it at 88.3%. And I'm just like, well, that's cool. Okay. So, you know, we were able to show enough to convince, you know, small children, and when I say small children, teenagers, the possibility of this. But it was a lot of fun. And I love how he got the 88.3% like out of nowhere. I mean, that's a strange number, but hey, it worked. So we did our job, and we just had fun. That was the main thing, is that we had fun. So it was really cool being out with them. So that's kind of what we did this week as far as lectures and being out with the general public. We are setting up more lectures, so they will be coming around. We are trying to get into some areas, you know, that people they're like, oh, it's a little bit too far. So you know, one way you can definitely help us is if you have a local library and stuff, you know, just tell them about us, you know, tell them that you're interested in maybe, you know, them reaching out, and we can, you know, do a lecture in your area. We have no problem traveling to do lectures. They're always free of charge, you know, and you just come and hang out with us and basically just talk about all things Bigfoot, monsters, and even ghosts like we'd end up doing today. You know, we talked about a little bit of everything. So, I mean, that's the cool thing about us is, you know, we're very versatile. But as I always state, that Bigfoot is totally different than the paranormal group that I run. Bigfoot is a total different specimen, total different way we do things. So I do not make a Bigfoot paranormal. I don't do that. I make it logical. So let's I always have to clear that up. All right, so we're going to debrief some of our cases that we did last week. Like I say, we've been very busy out in the field, and we want to try to get everybody the best information that we can, and just talk about our research areas and what we're doing. So we went down to Hunter Mountain last week, and you know, if you heard one of the previous radio show episodes, we had an ultra runner on, and what he was, he told his story about how, you know, he was running up up to Hunter Mountain in the Catskills, and he got to the top and he had his encounter of, you know, a Squatch watching him through the trees and stuff like that, which he witnessed the big creature standing there deep in the woods and then disappeared. You can, if you know, if you want to listen to that episode, just pop on a Blog Talk and it's there, and just listen to the save episode. It's really cool. And for someone like me who is an ultra runner, it was crazy to even really, I was like, wow, I never really thought about this being in the woods and even thinking about Bigfoot, because we're out running and training and doing those things and you're not even thinking about this stuff. So it really hit home for me, and it was a really cool story. So, you know, I went up and checked it out, and I could tell you, like, the trail that we took, it was a trail, let me tell you. It was basically a 2,000 foot elevation gain in a 2 mile span of walking. So one thing I got to say, when Bigfooting, when doing a lot of these summits, as you know, we're mountaineers, we're hikers, we're ultra runners, things like that. We're in really good shape. Always be prepared when you're hiking and in the woods. You got to be in somewhat shape or understand and know the area that you're walking in. I could tell you the trail that we took was super steep. And you know what, if we didn't do this and we didn't, if we were out in the trails and we weren't bagging summits all over the place, that would have been a very hard hike and it would have sucked real bad. But since we were in shape, it wasn't as bad. But once again, just know your body. You don't want to get out there in the woods and then you just bonk, especially on a hot day. So when we went out there, it was 90 degrees. It was humid. It was on one of those really hot days that we've had. And we went up, and I could tell you, like, as I was walking up the hill, I was like, man, this sucks. This is a hill. But we made it, and as you look around the environment on the top of Hunter Mountain, it flattens out where the Devil's Path is, cutting right through there. And as you really look around the environment, you can definitely see that it's very squatchy. It's easy for a Squatch to move around up there. Trees, you know, as you're going up the mountain, it's really dense. And the trail that we took, there was just no way a Squatch is really going to be going up that trail. Because it's a cliff. It's legit like a drop-off on the one side. So if a Squatch did go up that trail, it would have to follow the rock path. And when I say rocks, you're scrambling. You're doing a lot of rock scrambling. So the last 1,000 feet, it's just a lot of scrambling. But anyway, so I could definitely see that, you know, how our witness would encounter something like that. Up on the top, it's very flat, flattens out. It's a cut through. You have the fire tower up on Hunter, also the outlook on the backside of the mountain. And, you know, I can definitely see that it could hold a Squatch. There is an outhouse up on top near the fire tower. Now, the reason I always bring up outhouses is because a lot of the stories that we get is that Bigfoot, you know, around the outhouse areas are very active. So we've had this happen time and time again. We've heard the stories time and time again of people being in an outhouse area, and sure enough, they're having Bigfoot activity happen in those areas, which would make sense because they're far enough in the woods. Usually where these outhouses are located, they're kind of off the beaten path, obviously, because you don't want to have to go to the bathroom right in the middle of the camp. But they're off the beaten path, and because they're off the beaten path in those little areas, you know, this is when, you know, something could definitely watch you. We are Bigfoot's TV. Like, we are their entertainment. So it would really make sense. So that's where his encounter also was, which was cool. And it definitely backs up what we experience in the field and all the stories that we hear. So that, I mean, I could definitely see. We didn't, now that day, there was no Bigfoot evidence. You know, we looked around a little bit, nothing to be seen. And then we came back down the mountain really late at night. That was basically that trip. All right, the following trip, we then head back up in the Adirondacks into our main research area. Now, this was a cool trip. You know, it was raining. There was storms. It was an awful day. So we kind of had to cancel the full group trip. There was no point of us all going up into the woods, setting up a camp just to get dumped on. I mean, it's makes for a miserable, miserable night of Bigfoot research. Done it many times, especially with, you know, the hundreds and hundreds of dollars of equipment that we have. It's not worth trying to ruin all of our equipment to get up there to just basically get dumped on in the rain. Now, we do research in the rain, okay? So if it starts to rain, it happens. My team, I make them have a gear list. Their gear list is very extensive. So we are prepared for those things when we're out there. But when we know it's going to thunderstorm and things like that, and it was storming down here and on the way up, you know, we can't be in the woods. It's just too dangerous, and we don't need trees falling and getting widowmakered and stuff like that by branches. It's just not worth it. It's not worth it. So we end up going up later, me and another investigator, and we had to get the camera out of the woods. Like I've said on the last couple shows and on Facebook, that we've had a camera basically sitting in the woods for a couple weeks, one of our panoramic trail cameras. Great camera, takes great pictures. And so we set one up. There was a spot that of a tree that was bent over on a hump, which was nice because the hump gave us about 4 foot of elevation off the ground. Dug the camera into the tree, so it was totally hidden, and we set up a whole spot with, you know, a gifting table and things like that. Now, we're going to retrieve it now. So we went out to go retrieve the camera, and as always, whenever we go through the woods, because we bushwhack, we always end up going a different way to get to the camera. GPS only does so much in the woods, so that this is a learning curve. You got to know more than GPS. Your GPS will give you some guidelines on to where to go, but I can tell you, by a person that uses GPS on the daily, it only works so well. It's very easy to get off the track, very easy. So you got to have different ways of trying to manage yourself through the woods in areas when you're bushwhacking. Anyways, you will end up lost. You really will, especially, you know, in the Adirondacks where we are, it's thick, it's swampy, it's easy. So if you're setting up any kind of things in the woods from other researching aspect, always make sure there's landmarks that in multiple different areas that you can at least guide yourself through the woods. So we end up finding the trail camera, which, you know, thank God, because we don't ever want to lose a trail camera in the woods either. And, you know, we set up, you know, look at the setup, took it out, blah, blah, blah. All right. Now, my other investigator, they went across the creek. Now, what we do is we set up a trail camera on a creek side, so it's an easy pathway, things like that. Bigfoot would use the path of least resistance. So because they're using the path of least resistance, those are the areas that we would set up on. The craziest thing, then all of a sudden they were like, "Do you see that?" And I'm like, "What?" And they're like, "Do you see that track?" And I'm like, "There ain't no track. I don't see no track." Sure enough, there was a track, and it was about 60 feet behind our trail camera, okay? So, and it was a pretty fresh track. We did post it on the Facebook page. If you haven't seen it, go ahead and scroll down, and you'll see the track that we're talking about. And, of course, the thing couldn't walk in front of our trail camera because that would just make life too easy for us and, you know, things like that. So it didn't. But we did find a fresh track that was on the other side of the creek, so we were on the wrong side. And it makes for a great find for us. It shows that the area that we're in is the right area. Now, normally I don't do much in the summer, okay? Like Bigfooting for me has been mostly in the fall, winter, and spring. Summertime, I'm busy doing other things in life. And when I do go in the woods, it's usually hiking or summoning some mountains and things like that. This year it's brand new. We're Bigfooting in the summer, you know, a lot more. We're always out in the woods doing those kind of things, but we've been out a little bit more this year and doing ghost stuff too, usually, you know, because they overlap. So, you know, it's hard at times. So, the track was found about 60 feet behind the trail camera. Means that we're in the right spot. So it's awesome. We also did have a lot of deer coming through that area, which was nice. Now, nothing interacted with our gifting table, which doesn't mean it's a total fail. It's just that, you know, once again, nothing interacted with it. So we're going to, you know, rethink that idea a little bit and put it probably in a different area. But we're in the right area, and that's the bonus. So there was two tracks found. Actually, the one that we did post was a lot better than the second one. Second one was kind of like a half track, but you can see that something large did step right there, and it was along the creek bed. So that's a win for us. I'm very happy about that find. It just means that our logic in this thinking is right, and we are in the right area. So that's all I care about, and we will continue to hit that area hard within the next month. So we're excited. We have a couple of cases lined up and ready to go, and we'll be heading back out in the field probably next week and the week after. So we have a lot going on. So that's been basically what we've been doing. It's been super busy. But that's Bigfoot. Now we are going to get into mountain lions for the rest of the show. Hold on. All right, I just had to get a drink there. All right, so mountain lions. All right, we're going to talk about mountain lions down in the Catskill area. I will jump around a little bit throughout the state. But for this show, we're going to focus mostly on the Catskills. And the reason that we're going to focus mostly on the Catskills is due to the fact that the Catskill Mountains, it would be the perfect habitat for these type of creatures, okay? Mountain lions prefer rockier areas and things like that. When we hear about mountain lions, the first places we start thinking about is out in the Rockies out west, in places like that, all right? If you look at the mountains out west, they're very open. They're very rocky. Rocky. Dumb joke. But anyway, they're very open and things like that. So the lions and things, they prefer those areas. Now, if people that have hiked the Catskills or lived down in the Catskills, you would understand that, you know, the Catskills are a totally different beast as far as woods, all right? Adirondacks, very thick, very dense vegetation. The vegetation is, it's very different up there. It's almost like a rainforest-type area, okay? You get down in the Catskills, it's very rocky. You do so much rock scrambling down there. We're blessed to be, as nature people, to get all different ecosystems throughout the state of New York. So it's like, because we do a lot of research and we hike all the mountains and the high peaks up in the Adirondacks, we're able to see this stuff. But then when we start hiking down in the Catskills also and doing the 3500 and things like that, we do notice the huge difference in ecosystems and just the sheer amount of rocks and how, you know, glacier till and things like that from the past. You know, the Catskills may not be as tall as the Adirondacks, but they are a lot more technical, all right, as far as hiking is concerned. So as far as mountain lions, they say that is the habitat. You know, throughout the times, lynxes and mountain lions have been found down in the Catskills going from the 1700s and 1800s. I mean, that the population down there was pretty huge, all right? And if we look at the Catskill Park itself, and we're just talking about the Catskill Park is 1,094 square miles. I mean, you're talking about a very large area. You know, within the park, you know, there's 98 total peaks in the park, all right? So there's a lot of mountainous areas, a lot of areas that are you can only get to really by hiking and things, and you're hiking for miles at the time. It's not just like park and go. Like, some of these places are very remote, all right? And with that, you know, the possibility of mountain lions down there, it's a no-brainer. It's a really no-brainer. All right. Now, I just, you know, I always want to say what our stance is on this subject because, you know, some people do get upset because we talk about this. Now, our personal stance on mountain lions is this. We are no-kill proponents. Okay, just like a Bigfoot, we are no-kill proponents. We do not believe in going out, hunting them, killing them, and harvesting them. We do not believe in that whatsoever. Okay, our stance on mountain lions, just like Bigfoot, is that if they are here, they should then be put as a protected species. All right? We don't want them to get harmed. So just because we're out talking about it in the public, just because we're pushing the envelope about something that's a very touchy subject within the environmental community, and you have the different camps saying, you know, they're here, they're not, you guys are crazy, we are no-kill proponents and we do not want them harmed. Clear. I mean, it's simple, okay? But with that being said, it has to be talked about because there are so many witnesses, just like Bigfoot, and this is why we do both. This is why I'm very fascinated by the whole mountain lion thing, is that just as for Bigfoot, when somebody says they have a sighting report, guess what? Oh, you're crazy. You're a liar. You don't know what you're seeing. You misidentified what you're seeing. Well, guess what happens with the mountain lions? The same freaking thing. You don't know what you're seeing. You're seeing a bobcat. You're seeing a kitty cat. You know what I mean? I just read a bunch of reports from this one person who did a report basically for the DEC, and they said they're saying everything was a kitty cat. Like, it was nothing, like a domestic cat. Like, come on, you're being crazy, dude. These people know what they're seeing. Yes, some may be misidentified, and I've seen that personally where people think it's a mountain lion. It's really a bobcat. I mean, it happens. You know, we understand nobody is perfect. I see the same thing with Bigfoot. People say, oh, my God, that's a Bigfoot. No, it's actually a tree. But the way you're perceiving it is your mind's making it look like a Bigfoot because through the picture. But all that is a tree, and your brain has matrixed it. Okay? So we understand that, you know, misidentification does happen. Okay? But also, not everybody is a liar. And the problem I have with, you know, the DC and things like that, which I think the DC does amazing work. I'm very pro environmental. I'm very pro, you know, let's keep nature the way it is and make it better. Like, I will go on about that all day. If you follow the Facebook page, you see that on a daily that I post nothing but hiking safety and let's keep the woods clean. But to say that there's no mountain lions that exist in New York, I mean, come on, let's be real. People are seeing them and they're traveling through. Now, what's really interesting to me, how did this all get started down in the Catskills? How did the whole mountain lion thing come about? Well, basically what happened back in 2001, the rumor, and these are rumors, so there's no proven fact, but these are rumors that have been backed up by witnesses that were involved, okay? So I can only go by what we hear, and that's what we're going to talk about, all right? Is that back in 2001, the DEC supposedly released 11 mountain lions in Rensselaerville, New York, okay? If anybody knows where Rensselaerville is, from Albany, it's a quick, like, 40-minute drive. I go out there hiking often up at Rensselaerville Falls, beautiful spot. If you're local, check it out. It's a nice little hike in the falls, especially during mud season in the spring. They're raging and they're awesome. But supposedly the story goes is that back in 2001, 11 mountain lions were released down in Rensselaerville. Now, they've been talking about reinstating mountain lions into the eastern states for a while now. All right. The eastern cougar is said to be extinct. All right, so that's what they're saying. My question, though, would be this, is that if the eastern cougar is to be set extinct, and you're saying that a lot of these all these mountain lions that are coming within our state have wandered west to east, then what's to say that an eastern cougar hasn't gone east to west? So how can you specifically totally say that, you know, they're totally extinct when there's still a possibility that, you know, some of the eastern cougars moved out west, just like the western cougars are moving over east. Michigan is a perfect example of that. In Michigan, they denied that they were there forever. DEC kept saying, no, they're not here, they're not here, they're not here. Well, guess what? Now they're there. They've moved into the state of Michigan. They're, after a while, you can no longer deny something that is fact, okay? So back in 2001, 11 mountain lions were released. That was the rumor, okay? So then what happened, again, 2007, 2008, more mountain lions were released down in Columbia County. Columbia County is starting to get at the foothills of the Catskill area, okay? And those were the rumors then. Now, how did this all blow up into now here we are talking about it in 2019, all right? Well, in Albany County, a horse was attacked. A farmer saw something attacking one of his horses, okay? Upon the horse, you know, dying and things like that, they looked into it. And sure enough, when the farmer did all the research, it came back as a mountain lion attack, all right? DC was called. DC kept saying, nope, they don't exist. It must have been coyote. Must have been coyote. That always seems to be the response, is they don't exist and it must be a coyote, yada, yada, yada. So, but if we start thinking about coyotes, 9 times out of 10 coyotes, when they attack things, they're pack animals, right? I've come across coyotes in the woods. It's kind of freaky when you hear one coyote go and then something gets killed. They all go off. It's crazy. I'm sure a lot of you that are listening to the show, you understand what that sounds like. You can only really know if you hear it yourself. Once again, the farmers found out that it was a mountain lion, all right, that killed it. And that's how this really, really started getting a lot of steam, all right? DC kept denying it, and then when the farmer then found out that 11, the rumor, and I got to say rumor, sorry, that the rumor was that 11 were relocated in Rensselaerville, that was only a couple miles down the road from where he lives. That's only a couple miles down the road from where his horse was killed. So now he found that out, he was pissed. And now that has not held water since. This is the weird thing I find funny. Now, this all started way back in 2001, all right? So coming into 2010, what does the DEC say now? Well, the DEC changed its stance on all this and said, all right, well, we're going to go from mountain lions don't exist no more in New York, all right, But now there's just no breeding pairs of mountain lions in New York. So there's no populations. They're not breeding. They're just wandering through, taking a vacation through the state of New York. And it's, they're all random. All these things are random. That's just weird to me. That's really weird. But they did change their stance. There has to be a reason why you go from no, no, no to, okay, we're going to now change our minds. All right. So with that said, that's where the change started coming in, all right? If we go all across the Catskills as far as sighting reports go, there's just countless numbers of them. You know, I have one right here in the foothills of the Catskills, all right? So we're talking, you know, a little bit past Columbia County in the foothills in Schoharie County, like those kind of areas. You know, there was two people sitting talking in their driveway, and sure enough, what comes out of the woods? A mountain lion comes out of the woods. They both witnessed it, and then they one woman – I don't know why they would do this. She started chasing it, and then the thing took off and leaped over a 6-foot fence and jump, privacy fence, one of those privacy fences, and the thing was gone. I'm thinking, like, you're lucky that that thing didn't come after you because you're running after it. Like, people, listen, don't – I know things make you excited sometimes, and just don't do something like that ever. It's – that's just – no, okay? But – when you see things, people always want to get pictures and things, and it's not – that's always not the safest thing, as we see so many people getting selfies and dying, all right? But, yeah, this is in the foothills. It's jumped the privacy fence. No problem, all right? You know, coming out of lions in New York, okay, you know, a cougar was shot, and this cougar that was specifically shot had a tag. The tag was a DEC tag, all right? So – This comes back to almost where the rumor is that DEC did release mountain lions back in 2001. Now out in Lyons, New York, all right, a mountain lion was shot with a DEC tag on it. Obviously, if there was mountain lions released, they would be tagged, all right? They would have to. So they're basically kept, you know, keeping track of them. So once the guy shot it, the cat and understood what he did shoot, he called the DEC itself. And sure enough, the DEC denied that they ever had, first off, they ever released a mountain lion. Second off, there was no mountain lions with tags, that they didn't do that. They didn't tag mountain lions. And here it is, a mountain lion with a DEC tag on it. So you tell me, like, all right, so you're saying that the guy's lying, but the proof is right there. This is the issue that I have as a field researcher. There's so much proof. The proof is in the footprints. The proof is in the trail cam pictures. The proof is in all these witnesses coming forward and saying, listen, just come and, like, look at our stuff. Look at what we're capturing. Look at the information we are gathering, you know, and you're telling me that every one of these cats is coming, just walking through. Now, to me, it's crazy to think that there's not any male or female mountain lions that are magically walking through the state that wouldn't find each other somehow, like a Match.com issue. You know, let's find Match.com, or, you know, let's get into a relationship. You're crazy. These are animals. Animals are going to find animals. So a male and a female cat that come through the same area, they're going to breed. They're going to mate. That's nature. That's animal instinct. That's nature. So to fully be able to say with, like, come out and no problem say that there's no breeding population, you're crazy. It's crazy to me, because people are finding all these mountain lions throughout the state and down in the Catskills, which is the perfect habitat for them. In a female mountain lion is going to come across a male mountain lion, more than likely they're going to do the dirty, and guess what you start having? Populations. That's this fact. You don't have to even be a rocket scientist, a nuclear engineer, or an environmental person to know that. Okay, so it's crazy that they even say that to me. Now, you have the cougar that got killed in Connecticut on the Merrick Parkway. They said that was an eastern cougar that traveled through the state. They found it out, you know, in Buffalo, and it slowly traveled through, and it was killed on the road down in Connecticut. So that animal, all right, they know for a fact, they tracked it through New York, got killed in Connecticut, but you're telling me that there's no way that animal may have come across another mountain lion within that time, and it traveled all the way across the state and just, you know, basically do the mating ritual And then there you go. There's a population starting kit right there in a small area. And then it still comes back to, how do we know all the Eastern State Cougars didn't, some of them didn't go west, didn't migrate out west and then come back here? You know, animals leaving, they're, it's all about, you know, migratory and things like that. And Bigfooting, the things that, the research that we do, we believe that they migrate through different areas. Okay, we find the evidence to back that up. Cats, we're finding the same evidence. They're coming out west, coming here, going down to Pennsylvania, going across, going to Connecticut. You know, we have reports out of Maine even of cougars up there. So it's kind of silly to say 100% because we don't know 100%. All right, so that's a big issue to me. You know, just be honest about it and talk about possibilities. Schoharie County, many sightings down in Schoharie County. And Schoharie County is one of our Bigfoot areas. All right, some of the areas where you go Bigfooting, so cougar areas, these sightings come out of these areas, so they're almost hand in hand in some ways. So once again, to say that there's no breeding population down in Kisaki, a farmer killed one a couple years ago in DC, then came and removed the body. The farmer did try to talk to the DC about, you know, oh, well, this cat has been around a while. DC says it doesn't exist, it doesn't exist. And guess what, the farmer shot one because it was in threat its livestock. And once again, the DC is like, oh, okay, and didn't say anything about it, and basically was calling the guy a liar the whole time, which is not right. No one has the right to call someone a liar and then when they have the facts in front of them. And sure enough, they were called a liar, and there's the proof. The guy gave him the proof. The guy was like, yeah, the farmer was like, well, here's your proof. And they're like, they didn't say anything. They removed the body. That was done. Case closed. It's almost like a conspiracy in some ways, which is really crazy to me. You know, down in Catskills, they tracked the mountain lion going across Indian Head Mountain Range. And this was all documented. They tracked it all the way into the Huckleberry Trail, all through the Catterskill Mountain Valley. Okay, if you look into the Catterskill Wilderness, that is perfect mountain lion habitat. I mean, if you look at it, it's so wild. It's so rocky. That there's so many very steep areas that these animals love to jump on. They're cats. They love to jump up on the rocks and climb the trees, things like that. Once again, they tracked one all through there, and it was all hidden. And all of a sudden, now it's come out, like, yeah, I did track a mountain through there. How do you know there's not another mountain lion there? How do you know there's not a small population or a starting population? So to say that there's no breeding populations, I'm going to keep saying that. It's impossible to know because the amount of sightings coming out of New York throughout the whole state says something different. And if you're saying that all these sightings, and you're not talking about 5 or 10 sightings, you're talking about hundreds of camera pictures, hundreds of people witnessing these things. And we'll even if we take, say there's 500 reported sightings, if we say 400 of those are misidentifications, that still leaves you with 100 true sightings. Out of the 100 true sightings, you're telling me that of the 100 cats, all of them are female or all of them are male, and all of them aren't creating small populations. Come on, dude. Like, let's get real, okay? Let's get real. It's just, it's not possible. It's really not possible. So I have actually a secondhand account, and, you know, unfortunately, I wasn't able to get any guests on this channel. I really wish I was on this subject, and maybe when we do it again, I will definitely work on getting a guest on just to kind of talk about it, because, you know, there's so many people that have seen these things, and I understand that they're sensitive subjects, and, you know, I don't blame for people really to not really want to talk about it. So, but, you know, we have secondhand accounts, and we'll go from there. And then you can all decide. You can decide if what I'm talking about is crazy. You can decide if what I'm talking about makes sense. This was coming right from a police officer, and the police officer stated that they were called out to a farm, and the farmer said, you know, basically, oh, my, you know, one of my livestock got attacked by a mountain lion. So the police officer was taking the report. DC showed up. Farmer told DC the same story, and the DC guy's like, well, they don't exist, so it must be a coyote and a misidentification. This story is very similar to the one I just told you about Kisaki, all right? And this is a different part of the one I'm telling you now. This wasn't in Kisaki. So, you know, the next day, farmer shot one, okay? Same type of situation. So the local law enforcement went out to follow it up. Now, the night before, the farmer asked the DC officer, he's like, oh, what do I do if it starts, you know, attacking my livestock again? Do I have the right to shoot it? DC didn't say absolutely anything. He's just like, oh, whatever. No, that's kind of, didn't really talk about it, didn't say much. Well, the farmer shot it the next night because, you know, once again, he's protecting his livestock. It's within the law to do that. I mean, you can't, it's the law. So your livestock being attacked, you can shoot something, all right? Can shoot the thing attacking them. So any people out there, don't attack livestock. You may get shot. So anyway, DC was like, oh, didn't really say much about anything. Picked up the body, off they went. DC was hush-hush about everything. You know, it's okay to come out and say that we do have mountain lions in New York. It doesn't have to be a conspiracy and hush-hush. What's going to end up happening is that more and more sightings are going to happen because of the Instagram and Facebook effect, as I call it. More people are in the woods. For all my ADK people, for all my High Peaks Lake Placid people, you know this firsthand because you live it all the time. You cannot get to a trailhead after 7 a.m. It's completely full. The Adirondacks and the mountains are full of people. There's so many people getting that selfie on the summits, you know, banging out the 46er just like I'm doing, and, you know, banging out the Catskill 3500 just like a lot of people do. Instagram and Facebook have put more people in the woods. So it's going to take one person being attacked, just like what happened out in the Rockies where the bike rider got attacked and the one jumped on the back of him, all right? Someone getting attacked or a child in the backyard playing in a rural area and getting attacked by a mountain lion because the mountain lion thinks it's prey and it's a small child for then something to happen. Our goal is to educate people. Let's just do education. It's okay to say mountain lions exist in New York. It's okay to say these people are not lying about what they're seeing. It's okay to send a team of investigators out on the trail to back up these claims and say, listen, this is what people are finding. Here are the tracks. Here's the habitat. They are seeing what they're seeing and write a report about it instead of mocking all these people and all these witnesses that are having these encounters. This is why people don't come forward, and it's not fair. It is not fair at all. That is my problem with it. It's not to go out and shoot them. And people are like, well, Gary, you know, if you know people see mountain lions, they're going to start shooting them all over the place. Listen, people shoot animals regardless of what they know or what they don't know. Deer are poached all the time. People sit on the road and poach deer. It's illegal, but it happens. We cannot control that. But what we can control is the people that go into the woods, the people that are out there having a good time, enjoying nature, not thinking much of anything, and all of a sudden come across a bear or a mountain lion or a bobcat or a lynx or a rabid animal and have the education to what do we do? What do we do if we come across these animals? They talk about bears all the time. Catskills. If you go down the Catskills, all the trailheads are bears, bears, bears. Bear safety, bear canisters. After April 1st in the Adirondacks, you have to carry bear canisters with you. That's the law if you're backpacking and staying the night. Bear canisters are mandatory. All right? So if we can talk about bear encounters and we can talk about, you know, bears getting into your food and coming into camp and destroying your camp, why can't we talk about mountain lions being out in the wilderness? And what do we do if we encounter one? Because one of the reasons mountain lions stalk people, it's scary. Bears are goofy. Bears just kind of wander through the woods. They're huge. Mountain lions will stalk you. That is scary to think about, okay? But we're still out in the trail anyway. What do you do? Like, what can we do? Just educate us. That's what we want. We want the education. So, you know, how do you find mountain lions? You know, once again, look for tracks, okay? The tracks, usually a mountain lion track is in the shape of an M, all right? And it's about 4 inches in diameter. Look for, if you're out snowshoeing, a lot of times you'll see mountain lion tracks in the winter, okay? They jump a lot. A mountain lion can jump 20 feet. Like, they are, like, they can spring. They're just like normal cats who like to do those kind of things. But, you know, educate us. Show us the signs. Now, mountain lions are easy to spot by, if you get a picture of them, look for the tail. All right? Mountain lions have huge tails. that's kind of their telltale sign. Ha ha, telltale, yeah, buddy. Sign of what you're looking at, okay? So what can we do if you encounter a mountain lion, all right? Never run. The minute you run, you will be killed. I mean, that's simple. They're your prey animals. They enjoy that kind of thing. The minute you run, they're going to go right into the prey drive and go right after you. Don't do that. Act large. Throw sticks and stones and try to scare it off. They don't like that kind of confrontation, okay? So you run, that's a game to them. They will kill you. Throw things, act big, act large, make a lot of noise. It will set them off, okay? Once again, you become an alpha predator. You got to remember, these are alpha predators, all right? If you have multiple people in a group and you're with hikers or somebody else, stand side by side. Make yourself look big. Make yourself look threatening, all right? Those are the easy things you can do if you come across one in the woods. The DC, they're not educating us. I hope these little tips will help you in your journey. We are done for the day, Footer Nation. As always, keep it squatchy, and we will see you out on the trail. Deuces, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the NYBS Radio Show. Tune in next time as we continue our search for Bigfoot right here in the great state of New York. Until next time, friends, keep it squatchy, and we'll see you out on the trail.